Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray that the things we talk about would lift up and glorify Christ, help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight, and help us to point people to Christ that might need to trust Christ as their Savior. And we just thank you again for the opportunity. Bless the program for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to the program tonight, and I want to encourage you to visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can find out more information about us there. And the other thing that I like to mention if you go there is that you can find some of our past programs, and if you're in an area where you don't hear our Friday program, we have a half-hour program on Friday afternoons from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And if you're not able to hear those programs, you can find those also there as an MP3 file on our website, livewithpastoral.com. And also try to get some other things placed in there. And I'm trying to work up something there. There's a program here locally in Northeast Ohio that I do some help with. And I've been doing some Science in the Bible segments, and I'm trying to get some of them up on there right now. And I actually have a part there that has to do with crop rotation that's found in the scriptures, and we may get to that, even touch on that at some point tonight. But I just wanted to mention that to let you know that some of those things are there. Other thing you can find from that is a link to our Facebook page, and I encourage you to check us out live at pastoral.com. And you can, like I said, link to our Facebook page, or you can find out about our church and a little bit about us and the ministry. So, even better would be if you have a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, is to give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And since the basketball game is over, certainly there's no reason for any of our listeners in Northeast Ohio or wherever they might be listening to had been concerned with the game to hold off calling now, and because the game's over. So enough said about that, I guess. I'm not a basketball fan. I don't follow basketball, though. It's kind of hard when all your family's into it and getting excited about it. So. But anyway, let's get in our program here tonight. Like I said, 888-677-9673 is the number. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we actually have Danielle calling in tonight. Danielle, welcome to the program.
I'm wondering, you know, I don't use the internet.
Uh-huh.
I don't watch television.
Right.
And I don't even use a cell phone, because I'm aware of the warnings given in the Bible about the deception that would come with the image of the beast and mm-hmm. the mark of the beast. And I wondered what she thought about, and I've been doing a lot of studying. Whenever the Illuminati present a pogrom or an action, mm-hmm. they like to call it blatantly what it is. In other words, they call the internet a web, a net, and a cell, which is exactly what it is. So I decided I'm going to look in the Bible and in a concordance, and I'm going to look up everywhere where either those words or their synonyms are used. And I thought, interestingly enough, Jesus said that that day would come as a snare. And if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have stayed awake and kept the thief from breaking in.
Right.
Now, in the first book of Habakkuk, it talks about, I believe, is describing the Antichrist system and the actual how the image and the mark of the beast are going to be employed.
Well, let me back up just a second here, because we were talking about the Internet and television and all that first. Why don't we touch that first and then move on to this? Okay?
Well, this is what it is. This
okay,
is,
go ahead.
Okay, in the first book of Habakkuk, it
this
talks
would be Habakkuk,
about,
chapter 1 is what you're saying?
Chapter 1, starting at verse 13. And it says, they take up all of them with the angle, or the base.
Wait a minute. Verse 13?
1:15.
Oh, 15. I'm sorry, because I was going to say, yeah. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net.
Right.
They gather them
in
their
drag.
Therefore, they rejoice
and
are glad.
With bait. So it could say they take up all of them with bait. They catch them in their net.
The angle is the fishing hook. Because you're following
you
off from verse 14
hook?
That has the analogy of fishers,
right.
Fishermen.
And
yeah.
They capture them in their dragnet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they first started this surveillance, they called it Operation Stellar Wind, and it was described as a worldwide dragnet. Okay. Now, what do they do with the image of the beast? They worship it, don't they?
As right, but let me interrupt here a second, because we're getting a lot of information, a lot of things that you're bringing up that we're not taking the time to define and look at. And, you know, you have to understand, most people listening to the program have not followed some of these things like you have and gone through this. So what you're saying is second nature to you. But for the average listener, they're lost at this point. So let's just back
okay,
up for
well,
just a
I just,
minute.
I just want
the image of the beast, okay? Let's let people understand what that is and what it isn't. The image of the beast
the
is something that is going to occur.
Screen. It's on the Internet. It's on the smartphone.
Yeah, let me just get this out just a second here. The image of the beast is something that is going to occur in the future, and that's in the Bible. The image of the beast, there's foreshadowings of it right now. And let's go over to Revelation, the last book of the Bible. We'll come back to Habakkuk here in just a moment. But in Revelation chapter 13, I believe it is, we have the image of the beast. And this is something that is yet future. We do not have the actual image of the beast just yet. We do have foreshadowings of it. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the mystery of iniquity is already at work in the world, but it's being restrained. And I've read a lot about the Illuminati over the years, and I understand that there is a lot of material out there on it. But we have to understand the Illuminati is but one of many groups that would like to usher in a one-world government. And many of these groups are all tied in. The leadership of these groups is all the same. But it all goes back, and I've stressed this before, the master conspirator is not the Illuminati. It's not the Bilderbergers. It's not the International Zionist. It's not the Vatican. It's the devil. It's the devil. And he's got a lot of things that he's got going on at any given time. Some of them have been around for a while, like the Illuminati. Some of them have been around and then disappeared and then resurged. Some of them have been around 1,000 years ago, disappeared, and are completely gone. Some of them have roots going back centuries, and that's all true. But the master conspirator behind the Illuminati, and we can get all focused in on the individual particular groups, and in the short time that we have here, we cannot address every single group in detail. But what we can understand is the principle behind these groups is the mystery of iniquity that the Bible says is already working in the world, and it's being restrained in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 by the Holy Spirit working through God's people. We're called to be salt and light in the world, and light retards the darkness, salt retards the spoilage, That's what we're supposed to be doing. Now, the world is getting steadily worse. One day, God is going to take his children out of the world. That's an event we call the rapture, the catching away of the believers. And that's described in various parts. The two most familiar are probably 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, this occurs before the wrath of God can be poured out on a world that's rejected him. And that means before the tribulation. Some people think we'll go through the first half of the tribulation, but the seal judgments in the first half of the tribulation are described as the wrath of the Lamb and the wrath of God. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we're not appointed under wrath as his children. So the actual revelation of the Antichrist will not take place until after the believers are caught out of the world, and then he'll confirm a covenant with the nation, with the Jewish people, according to Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, and then there'll be the seven-year period of the tribulation. During that time, under the first seal judgment in Revelation chapter number 5, I believe it is, the Antichrist goes forth, the man on the white horse with the bow, without the arrows, conquering and such. He's going to form a one-world government. This is when the Illuminati, this is when the Bilderbergers, this is when the Club of Rome, this is when all these various one-world groups are going to have their day. And because the one who is currently restraining, who is withholding, is now out of the way. That's the Holy Spirit working through the believers. And the mystery of iniquity will bring to forth the Antichrist. Then at the midpoint of the tribulation, and that's in Revelation chapter 13, the image of the beast will be revealed, and the false prophet will make people bow down and worship that image. And I believe in doing so, they're going to worship the Antichrist as God, because he's going to declare himself God. And if they don't do that, they'll receive the mark of the beast in the back of their right hand or in their forehead. And that'll be something that signifies that they worshiped him as God. And if you don't, you'll be executed. Now, our caller was asking about the internet, asking about cell phones, asking about television. And I really do think that David had the best take on this in Psalm 101, verse 3, where he said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." I think even Job had observed that he would not look upon a woman, meaning to lust after her, because Jesus reflected that thought in the Gospels, where he said, if a man looks on a woman and lusts, it's as if he's committed adultery with her in her heart. And see, the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He knows that he can, if he can get wicked things before our eyes, he can get a hold on our lives. And we need, as Christians, to be aware. Now, we're in the world, the Bible says, but we're commanded not to be of the world. And if somebody does not want to have a cell phone, if somebody does not want to have the internet, that's fine. If you can't have that in good conscience, if you don't feel that you can have that in your life, and it would be tempting or allow the devil an opportunity to get a hold in some fashion, you should not have that. I will readily admit I use the internet. I use the radio. I use a cell phone. I have a television, though I don't have satellite or cable TV. I just have regular broadcast TV. And all of these things I'm getting at is we have to be conscious of what's going on around about us. And the foreshadowing of the one world government, the foreshadowing of the Antichrist, all of that is there, and people are being prepared for it through these mediums. But even if you eliminate the cell phones and the internet and cable TV and all that from your life, everywhere you turn around, the billboards that are all around us, the radio, the things that arrive in your mail, we have to be discerning. And we have to be prayed up and trusting Christ. Christ. Now, I apologize to our caller that I spent a great deal of time there, but I did give her leeway to say something. And is she still with us? All right, Danielle, I'm sorry that I had to turn you down there a little bit because we needed
to
get people caught up to date with what we were talking about. Go ahead.
My question is, not using these devices, I'm aware of the baiting and the coercion that's constantly going on.
Oh, yeah. That's basically what advertising is.
Let me finish. I feel increasingly backed into a corner where I realize if I don't use the Internet very soon, I'm not going to be able to buy or sell, get a job, or run an apartment. That sure sounds like the
market. Well, let me ask
you
this. Let me ask you a question with that. Are they asking you to worship a man who's calling himself God and to receive a mark in the back of your hand or in your forehead?
Let me just say this. Jesus said that day would come as a snare, synonymous with snare.
No, that you're mixing apples and oranges here.
Please,
you're mixing apples and oranges. Let me ask you again. Let me ask you again. Are you required to receive a mark in the back of your hand or on your forehead, and are you required to believe that some man is God in order to get that mark?
I
understand your concern. I understand your concern.
With the Internet and the Google, you won't be able to eat by yourself. That's what the Bible says.
Well, okay, well, we're going to have to disagree with that. I thank you for your call tonight. I appreciate that. My understanding, I read the Bible, and the Bible plainly says, and I thank Danielle for the call. I thank you for her concern, but as I said, my Bible plainly says, and I'll read it rather than just allude to it, because we need to go to the law and to the testimony. The Bible says that the believers in Thessalonica were nobler, Berean Christians were nobler than those in Thessalonica because they searched the Scriptures whether those things were so that he told them. So here is Revelation chapter 14. It says, talking about the false prophet, it says in verse 13, and he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, poor and small, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's the infamous 666. Now, this will be instrumental in being able to access the Internet. This will be instrumental in being able to access your bank account. This will be instrumental in being able to get a job. This is not the Internet. This is not anything other than a mark that you will receive on the back of your right hand or on your forehead. And it very clearly says that in the Scripture. Now, this mark will be made possible to a large extent by our electronic society, because with everything dependent on the Internet, for instance, if I go online and I want to have all my banking online, I have to have a password. If I don't have the password, I cannot access my banking information online. Now, that doesn't mean my online banking is the mark of the beast. My password is the key, not the fact that it has to be online. And see, this in a sense would be like the ultimate password. If you don't have this mark, you will not be able to access the world's economy at this time. You'll be dependent on the underground economy. And again, I can't stress more, this is yet future. We're seeing the foreshadowings of this today, the technology that will make this possible. We're seeing that today. But I do thank our caller for the concern there. we do need to be concerned. I was telling our church, I saw a booklet one time that was from the early 1940s, and it was asking the question, should Christians use telephones or have telephones? And it was put out by the Southern Baptist Convention in the early 1940s. And the consensus of the booklet was Christians, true Christians, would never have a telephone in their home because it leads to idleness and gossip. Now, it's a tool that allowed people to become idle and gossip, but I don't think you'll find too many Christians today that are going to give up their telephone. Just like anything, you could go into the library and you can find things in the library that are inappropriate. Does that mean we should ban libraries? No, we need to develop discernment in our people, in our children, in our adults, in our church members, so that we can be aware of the wiles of the devil. The devil is a roaring lion, the Bible says, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And, you know, quite frankly, some of these various things are designed to take our eyes off from the end game and worry more about things that ultimately, if we put our trust in the Lord, we know where we're going to spend eternity. Well, we could talk about more things, but we got a couple of minutes, but we also have our next caller waiting patiently. We've got Nancy calling in waiting patiently. Got a couple more callers, waiting here, and Nancy, we're going to get you on the air here, and I want to say Nancy and also our caller David, if you're waiting, please hold on. We do have a break coming up. And we'll get you on the flip side of the break as well. But Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I was enjoying that discussion that you had with Danielle.
Right.
And you did explain very accurately what the truth of the Bible is. But now my question is, and I know probably I might even call a couple of years ago on this, but it's just something that I'm just not real clear on. 1 Timothy 2:12, let
all right.
The woman learn in silence with all subjection, and but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over a man, but to be in silence. And I'm looking at, you know, I try to look at the whole context, but I'm looking mm-hmm. early in the chapter, chapter 2, verse 2, but kings and all those in authority. So I'm thinking, well, this should apply to government, but then they talk about preachers in verse 7. Now, we all know that Deborah was a judge in the
right,
Bible,
she was.
A very competent judge.
Yeah, of Israel.
And I did hear it justified that there were no men available. But then we look at also Margaret Thatcher. She was a very competent prime minister
right.
in England, and Queen Elizabeth. And you see these women leaders. So, to me, this chapter is talking about not only, the pastors, but those in, in government, too.
Yeah, let's take a look here real quick.
And then I want another mm-hmm. question real quick, if you can throw that in. Would it be okay for a female Sunday school teacher to teach teenagers, which include boys, because they are young men? Okay, thank you. I'll let you talk.
All right. Well, I appreciate that question, and that is a question
yeah.
that comes up periodically.
Yeah.
And it's talking in the beginning there about praying and making supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, he says here in verse 1. He says in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority.
Oh, yeah.
And that's talking about the civil authority there. Come down here, he transitions into spiritual matters.
In verse 7,
he says, for I'm ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And this is what he says. Now he's talking about spiritual things, because the first part of the chapter, he's talking about civil authorities there and how we should pray for them. And let me just insert this. I at our church, we pray for the president. Now, I know a lot of people don't pray for him. They don't like him. They didn't vote for him. They don't like what he's doing. They don't pray for him. We pray for him. We pray for him. Each Sunday that he would get saved, because I think he has solved a lot of problems if he'd get saved, and not the least of which is leaving Islam for Bible Christianity. But anyway, getting back to this right here, he says, I will in verse 8, therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So he's talking about our spirituality here now. And he begins talking about their conduct as God-fearing women and God-fearing men. And this area here where he says in verse 11, where he says, let the women learn in silence and with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she should be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Then he goes and ignore the chapter heading. The very next verse says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And it goes immediately into the qualifications of a pastor.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would limit that in about the teaching and the authority over men to the spiritual aspect.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, churches are going to have to decide about teenagers. Got about 5 seconds. I think if they're over the age of 12, they should be under the headship of men, the teenagers.
Oh, boys. Okay. Okay, so. I was just curious about
that. All right, well, thanks.
Okay.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 crossed. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 877-9673. We'll get you on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, as you heard there on the break. And also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. If you're in Northeast Ohio, check out East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. They're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. If you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you might not be in Northeast Ohio, you might be out of state, but you'd like to add a good line of pizza to your existing restaurant or get into a pizza shop yourself, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started. For a whole lot less than what you might think possible, that's East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. And we're going to be getting back to our program. Just to mention something real quick, too. As I said, you can visit our website at Late Night Live. LiveWithPastorAl.com. We've changed that recently, and if you listen to the Bomb the Hour break, I was just thinking of that. I've got to get that changed because the old website's on there. That'll still get you there. But LiveWithPastorAl.com is where you need to go. You can find links to our church, links to our Facebook page, links to past programs, other things that we have posted there. Even a link, I believe, to East Coast Pizza. You can find all that there. And just encourage you to visit us if you get a chance. If you're in Northeastern Ohio, we're a very small church, and we've been blessed with some visitors from the radio program. And we always enjoy meeting people, and just also let you know, if people ask, how do I get on the program? Well, you give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we had a caller that's called in, and we've lost them. David has called, and we just lost him again, I guess. And David, if you're listening, give us a call back. We'd love to hear from you tonight. He was on hold there, and we lost him over the break, and he called back, but we've lost him again. So, David, if you can give us a call, and our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673, and mention something there as well. As far as our callers go, you know, it's kind of interesting. I get to know certain callers over the years. It's been kind of fun. And most of them I never get to meet, although we do have some callers that call from time to time, and we've got people that listen. We get letters every once in a while, and so we've got a friend that writes us regularly from Florida, and we appreciate those letters, but just wanted to let you know that we appreciate your prayers for us as well. Most of the people who call our program actually don't go to our church. A few of them have visited, but that's about it. And we do have some regular callers from time to time that call and bring up different things from time to time. And I once had somebody ask me, are they a part of your show? I said, well, in so much as they pick up the telephone and they dial the number. That's how they become a part of the show. And they said, well, but they're on, it seems like, every week. I said, well, every week they pick up the telephone and they dial 888-677-9673, and that's how they get on the radio. It's not hard to get on some talk radio programs. Ours is really easy because if you dial the number, our board operator picks up the phone, and there you are. And he puts your name on the screen, and as soon as I can get to you, I get to you. So that's what we try to do, and we enjoy your calls. And we'd love to have you call if you get a chance to give us a call tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let me go on to some other things here. And I just wanted to mention, pick up on something here back in Psalm 101. During the first half of the program, we had a question come up about the Internet and television. And by way of full disclosure, obviously I use the Internet. I wouldn't have a website if I wasn't using the Internet. and I grudgingly finally broke down early last winter, and got on Facebook. I'll be honest, I had resisted Facebook for quite some time because I knew it would be trying to take a lot of my time. And I used to joke, I can run down the street and I can shout out periodically what I'm doing and what I'm thinking about, and I'd get several followers, some of whom would be the police, I'm sure. But I don't need Facebook. And finally, we went ahead and we established a Facebook page for the program, and we've been trying to use that as a way to get out some information and some things to encourage people, some things to alert people. And let me encourage you to visit our Facebook page, and you'll see a number of things there. Like us on Facebook. If you say, well, I've had trouble finding you, well, go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, and up in the upper right-hand corner, I believe it is, you'll see a little spot to click to take you to the Facebook page, and you can follow us there. But one of the things that I found, and I try to find a number of things online. Now, let me get back to Psalm 101 here real quick. This is a great psalm, and if you have difficulty struggling, because with the availability of what's on television, what's on the internet, and it's not just that, what's on the radio, you can apply this to the ear gate as well as the eye gate, but it is exceedingly difficult. I saw a statement one time, and this is probably back in the 1980s or 90s, and they said that the average man sees more nudity in his life by the time, you know, he reaches the age of 20 than his grandfather saw in his entire life. And if you think about that for a moment, that's partly because of television, and then certainly now with the internet, you probably see more by the time you're 10 than your parents saw by the time, you know, they were 50. But if you think about this, look at Psalm 101, verse. Let me just read it. There's only 8 verses, and this is an excellent psalm to look at, to read, to meditate on. David says this in Psalm 101. David says, "I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the Lord, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord." Now, this is something that David said here. David, as he's writing here, and of course he was a king, he had the power to destroy all the wicked out of the land and to cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. And he obviously had that power, and we might not have that kind of power and authority, but if you look at the rest of that psalm, you know, David in this psalm says that he's going to behave himself wisely in a perfect way, not just out in public. He says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And we need to remember this. God sees us not just when we're in church, not just when we're outside. He sees us in our house. He sees us when we're in private. And he says that he's going to behave, he's going to walk in his house with a perfect heart. He's not going to set a wicked thing before his eyes. And that's one of the dangers that we have today with the internet, with the television and things, is setting wicked things before our eyes. And instead of hating the work of them that turn aside, we begin to like it, and we begin to desire it, and it begins to cleave to us. And David said, "It shall not cleave to me." Why? Because he hated it, and he wasn't going to set it before his eyes. A forward, not forward, forward, F-R-O-W-A-R-D, F-O-R-W-A-R-D. That's not a misspelling of forward. That's forward. It means twisted or perverse. He said, a twisted or perverse heart, a forward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person, because he understands that evil communications corrupt good manners. And he continues in that psalm how he's going to avoid the wicked, and he's going to fellowship instead with the faithful of the land and with those that walk in a perfect way. Those are the people that he was going to be around. Those were who was going to be his friends. Those are the people he was going to have work for him. Those are the people that he wanted to be around, because he was guarding his heart. David learned the hard way what happens when you let your eyes wander, the incident with Bathsheba, for instance, because he allowed things to appear before his eyes that he should have turned away from. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We've got Tom calling in tonight, and Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor. This is Tom. Yeah, how you been?
Good. Good to hear from you tonight.
Good. I agree with you there on what you just said about the Internet, because yeah, I've had to do that for a lot of research on a project I have. But
I tell you, isn't that what David said thousands of years ago? Isn't that so applicable for today?
Yeah, and then Paul follows up. He says, you know, when he talks about sexual immorality and stuff like that, he says to flee from it. Just
right.
The first vestige, you flee. You don't hang around into the temptation.
That's exactly right.
So, but I have a different question tonight, actually.
All right, sir.
We're in the midst of these four blood moons, and
yes.
I'm not going to bring any one pastor's name into it, but there's some well-known people that have written some books about these blood moons and how they parallel the Jewish high laws, the holy days, and
right.
You know, there's some people out there saying that, you know, September is going to be this last blood moon, and there's going to be, you know, that some people are saying that they're going to actually, it's going to portend economic collapse and everything else coming. What's your take on these blood moons as far as a biblical position?
Well, you know, the Bible talks about seeing signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all of that. And we've talked about that on the program before. In fact, there are some things on our website dealing with those. But I guess the shortened version of it is, to me, this gets people talking about Bible prophecy and looking into the Word of God. And from that standpoint, I think it's good. But I do think there's a danger that we look to these types of signs more than we look to the Scripture themselves.
Yeah.
It is rather interesting. This, and for people who are not maybe quite as familiar, and not everybody is as familiar with the blood moon tetrads, as they're called,
right.
A real quick description of it, it's a succession of two lunar eclipses, because a lunar eclipse is referred to as a blood moon because, and they only happen during the full moon. The Earth comes between the sun and the moon. And what happens, and they're kind of impressive to watch if you get a chance to see a lunar eclipse, the Earth is in between shading the moon, but sunlight hits the Earth's atmosphere, and because it wraps around through the Earth's atmosphere, kind of a lensing effect, it allows light, reddish light, to hit the lunar surface and bounce back to us. A reddish
yeah.
light, because it's like the light that you see at sunrise or sunset. And so it gives the moon sort of a blood red or kind of a coppery color sometimes. It varies a little bit depending on atmospheric conditions on the Earth. And for these total lunar eclipses to occur, it's not that unusual. And to have a couple of lunar eclipses during one year is not that unusual. But the thing that's got people excited about this topic is that there's only been a relatively few times since the time of Christ when you have had a succession of two total lunar eclipses occur in 2 years, and both of those lunar eclipses occur on successive Jewish holy days. And,
right, exactly, like Feast of Trumpets and so forth.
Right,
yeah.
And here's an example. The current one that we're in, April 15th last year, a full moon at Passover, we had a total lunar eclipse. And then on October 8th of last year, at the Feast of Tabernacles, we had a total lunar eclipse. There was no eclipse or even partial eclipse in between. Then The next lunar eclipse was a total lunar eclipse on April 4th of this year, again on Passover.
Right.
And then the next one is scheduled for September 28th this year on the Feast of Tabernacles.
Tabernacles, and see,
it's the same two Jewish holy days in two successive years, and people have gone through and suggested that important things in relation to the Jewish people have occurred during these, and so just as a real quick overview, in the 1400s, for instance, the Jewish persecution in Spain, they were kicked out of Spain, but it also at the same time, I think would be more significant, is the New World was rediscovered, which became a sanctuary for the Jewish people. Then, of course, it did not occur again until 1949-1950 during Passover and Tabernacles again, like in 1493 and 1494. And what's significant in that time frame is that Israel had become a nation again and just shortly before that. And then the next significant one, so that would be a state, so we had a sanctuary state. Then in 67 and 68, we had a succession of four blood moons. And again, the most impressive thing there is as around the time frame when the Jewish people captured Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. The site of the Jewish tabernacle was now in Jewish hands. And I think, personally, if this is going to be significant, to me the progression seems to be that we might see the rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount sometime, perhaps even beginning this year. But we don't know that for sure. That's just all
speculation.
You've got to
be careful because, you know, there's a faction of church out there, and I'm not saying that they're not true Christian believers, but you know, there are some people teaching this that say that we're going to be going through the tribulation. See, you know, I'm very cautious to who I listen to, and I question everything. But I think we need to do that. We live in a day that there's a lot of deception, and some of it seems to be right. You know, it seems to be biblical, but I think we have to be real careful, like you said.
Oh, absolutely. We need to weigh things not with signs in the sun, moon, and stars as our final authority, but with God's word as the final authority. And let me just touch on what you said about the rapture and going through the tribulation, all or part of the tribulation. And in 1 Thessalonians, and I had mentioned this earlier in the program, I alluded to it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, it says, let's see if I can find it here. I'm picked up.
We shall not all sleep.
No, a little further down here, verse number 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, doesn't he bear that out in Revelation 3, 2, that he's going to spare the church of Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think so. And here's another picture of it in Revelation chapter 4. John, as a picture of the church, is caught up out of the world before the events of the tribulation begin to unfold on the world.
Right.
And if you're looking at the events of the tribulation unfolding on the world, what's kind of interesting is because looking at some things on a site where they were saying, oh, the church is going to go through the first half of the tribulation. And there was a teaching at one time came out a few years back called pre-wrath rapture, where we'll be taken away before the wrath of God is poured out on the world. But see, the thing with that is, when the seals are broken in the book that's introduced in Revelation chapter 5,
right,
and as the seals are being broken in Revelation chapter 6, these are a series of seals, seven seals on this book. And
so the wrath
is
being poured out already.
What's that?
That begins the breaking of the seals that indicates the beginning of the wrath being poured out, right?
Exactly. In fact, the people that hide, it says in, let's drop down to verse number 13. This is under the sixth seal, actually verse 14. It says, and the heaven departed as a scroll and is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, notice, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? This is the sealed judgments. This is not the trumpet or the vial judgments in the second half. This is in the first half of the tribulation. And this is in the half of the tribulation that some well-meaning people say Christians are going, Christians that Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:9 that are not appointed unto God's wrath. This is God's wrath being poured out on the earth with the breaking open of these seals. And the wrath gets worse and worse with each successive seal, and then with the trumpets, and then with the vial judgments. But this is the wrath of God. It clearly says, save us hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. For
and
the great day of his wrath has come.
Yeah, and we're seeing a Christianity today that, you know, just wants to preach the love of God and, you know, all the gifts he can give us. But people forget that the wrath that we deserve has been poured out on our behalf on the cross of Calvary.
Absolutely.
So if we reject that, sacrifice that God poured his wrath out on his Son, then there is no alternative. God's wrath must proceed forward in judgment against us.
Exactly. And that's why the tribulation period exists. God's wrath is going to be poured out on the world that's rejected him.
Yeah, and people today don't want to hear about a wrathful God. But, you know, I'm sorry, that's biblical, isn't it, Pastor?
Exactly. God has wrath, and it's being stored up to be poured out eventually. And certainly we see that in the Scriptures.
Amen.
And, you know, when we look at that, we put things in context, we understand that there are things that are going to happen. And I do believe, and talk about the blood moons and things again, I think there are good things with that. In a sense, it gets people into the Scriptures. It gets people wondering what's happening.
Well,
and,
I know that we are in the last days.
Yes,
nobody knows, and I get real skeptical, and I'm starting to even hear some people. I heard one pastor that's on television. I don't listen to them all. I happen to catch him, and I'm not going to mention names, but it's not important. But he was talking like he's written this book, and he can almost pinpoint the hour, he says. And beware of anybody who says that, because what did Jesus say?
Yeah.
No man knoweth the hour. We know the seasons, though, but Jesus indicated that in Matthew.
Right.
We know
hey,
the seasons.
We're almost out of time here. Tom, we'll have to cut you there.
Nice
and he did say
and
that we're not of darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief. Believers should be aware, watching and waiting. I want to thank you for your call tonight, and I appreciate our callers this evening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and check out our website at livewithpastoral.com, and you can listen to this program there later on. I'm sort of a one-man show with putting all that together, so it'll be up there eventually. Just keep checking back from time to time. And let's see, I think I got a little more time left than what I thought. What do we got left? About 30 seconds, 20 seconds to go? About 15 seconds. All right, I thought we were there at the end there for a moment. But I appreciate the prayers. And if you're in Northeast Ohio, come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We'd love to have you visit there. Good night, God bless, and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.